Proverbs chapter 3, start today. And in Proverbs chapter 3, I wanted to just share a little bit today on learning to believe God. We'll just see where this goes. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." You know, there's a lot of learning that each person goes through in their lives, and you could be a young person or an older person, doesn't matter, but you learn a lot in your life to trust in your own ways. Mm-hmm. A lot of people spend most of their lives learning to trust themselves and their own leanings and their own understanding of situations. So, you know, when God puts this out there, it's a radical shift in our thinking. You know, it's not like, oh yeah, no problem, I'll just trust God. That's not how, it doesn't seem to work that way, does it? Mm-hmm. In all our experience. But nevertheless, it says, let's read it again, right? And it says it a couple of different ways here. We'll read them. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, verse 5, and lean not unto thine own understanding. So when you get a situation, you know, every situation you face in life, you always have the option to lean on your own understanding, right? I think we're well aware of that. You know, something comes up, you go, yeah, I know exactly what to do. Do you? Is that what you should do? And God's exhortation is completely different. And he says, don't lean on your own understanding. Trust me. You know, and I can give you, and I won't, so I don't embarrass myself, many instances in my life where I wish I hadn't leaned on my own understanding for situations. Right? But I had trusted God. Would have turned out way better, I assure you. Right? And lean not unto thine own understanding in all thy ways. And this is where it gets very difficult. Right? In all thy ways acknowledge him. And in the guarantee of God's word in this case is, and he shall direct thy paths. So, you know, it's not like God says, okay, don't lean on your own understanding and you're not going to have an answer or a solution to what you need to do. He says, if you don't lean on your own understanding, but lean on me and look to me, he said, don't worry, I will tell you what to do. Isn't that what it says? It doesn't say he might direct your path or there's a possibility that someday he might show up. He says he shall direct your path. And all he asks us to do, and again, I always think about, there's so many verses in God's word where God always has the hard part, right? We have the easy part. In this situation, what's the easy thing to do? Just trust him. The harder thing is to figure out what needs to be done here in a situation. And God says, don't worry, I'll take that part. I'll take the hard part. You just do the easy part, which is trust me, and I will direct your paths. In verse 7, he says it a couple different ways here. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Isn't that just like saying, lean not unto your understanding, right? God said, just in case you missed it in the previous verse, be not wise in thine own eyes. Right? Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Right? There in verse 7, it says, fear the Lord. It's not saying be afraid of him. It just means to reverence him. Right? Reverence him. The same way as in the previous verses where it says, don't, you know, if you're understanding, but trust him. Trusting God is reverencing God. When your children trust his parents or his dad or mom, they're reverencing them. They're showing them respect. And God says, you know, you want answers, you want direction in your life, trust me, reverence me, and don't trust yourself. Trust and lean on me. And you know what? You're going to be blessed, you're going to be fruitful, and you're going to know what to do. So that's a wonderful, wonderful promise. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1. We read this last week. I'm going the wrong way. Joshua, Judges, Joshua chapter 1. Again, I started by saying we're going to look at how to believe God, but a little bit of background is needful. A critical time, as we learned in Joshua's or the history of Israel, when Moses, who had led them for such a long time and had put up with so much and had just died, then God spoke to Joshua, and he says some interesting things here in chapter 1 of Joshua 1. Let's just read verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. And then from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. So he gives them all this wonderful thing. Verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days. What a great promise. Mm-hmm. As I was with Moses, so I'm going to be with you. I will never fail thee, nor forsake thee. So he tells, you know, a lot of encouragement to Joshua. This is going to happen. You're going to get all the land I promised you. No one's going to be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And then he tells Joshua what Joshua has to do in all of this. Again, I told you, God always has the hard part. In this case here, the hard part was making sure they get all this land, you know, that it's cleared of those people who are trying to kill them. And he says in verse 6, you be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. See, the strength and encouragement Joshua is told to have is, you know, it's interesting. He doesn't say, in fighting all these people. Is that what it says?
No.
No, he says, the strength and encouragement is to do the law, to do God's word. You know, in this gen, if you look around you, the things that are happening in this culture that are so anti to the word of God, it takes great strength and encouragement for you to stand up and say, well, I believe in the word of God. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in all that the Bible says. You know, I know you've tried to say it in public, and you don't usually get a very good response, do you? So here, things haven't changed. Things have not changed since the days of Joshua. You think life is so different today? Wow, all these, no. There is nothing new under the sun. The same problems they had in believing God's word back in the times of Joshua are the same problems you're going to have today. It's an antagonistic culture that will destroy your ability to believe God, if it can, if you let it. So God doesn't say to Joshua, you know, do 50 burpees a day, do 100 pull-ups, so you're really strong to when you fight. No, that's not what he says. It's interesting what he says, right? He says that thou be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. He says, I want you to be strong and courageous to do what the word of God says. You don't worry about the land and all that stuff that I just promised you. You just do this, and guess what? Wherever you go, you're going to be prosperous. Interesting, isn't it? Right. Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, only then, shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. I love that verse, man. Okay, you're telling me if I want to get all this land you've told me about, all I've got to do is make sure I keep thinking your word and doing what your word says, God. And you're going to make sure that I can do that. I can't possibly figure out a way to get all that land to myself. That's what Joshua, if I was Joshua, I'd be thinking, great. So you're telling me the odd time when I happen to be awake at night, or I'm on a night watch, or when I happen to be, that you want me to just think about the Word of God and ask you for understanding? Is that what you're asking me to do? Are you sure there isn't anything else? I mean, I make it simple. It sounds kind of silly, but isn't that all I still told him to do? Verse 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest, right? I think it's, you know, it's so I started by saying we're going to learn how to believe God. So you think a part of learning how to believe God might be just to know His Word and to think about His Word once in a while, right? Or every night, or whatever opportunity you have? Or is it to spend our lives thinking about how I'm going to have good success, and how I'm going to do this, and how I'm going to do that, so that I can have great success? Or is it to meditate on His Word? What is the thing that God is asking us to do? Romans chapter 10. Actually, on the way to Romans, let's stop by Matthew 21. It's on the way. It shouldn't be that much work, right? As you pass by, do a little. Let's go to verse 17. Matthew 21, verse 17. And he left them and went out of the city into business about Jesus Christ, now unto Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. So he was hungry. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it, and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently or immediately the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus Christ, and his answer is unbelievable. Jesus answered and said unto them, okay, you guys think this tree is great. You guys think that was pretty amazing. Look what he says. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, if you have faith, or believing, and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Who actually believes that? Let's read it again. Okay, it says here, if you shall say unto this mountain, and there's a good chance that he was pointing to a literal mountain. I don't know. There's a good chance there was a mountain around Jerusalem, wherever he was. This mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. You know. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Right. Verse 22. And all things. And okay, let's just make it even bigger than the mountain, right? And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, what does it say? Believing, you shall receive. Know what it says? That's what it says. Simple, right? Simple. So, if I'm going to learn to believe God, it might benefit me the odd time to sit down and think through what the Word of God tells me to do. To think about what the Word of God says. Have you ever sat down? I told you this is going to be a teaching on how we can, practical things we can do and how to believe God. Well, one of the practical things might be just to sit down in a chair and think about the verses in God's Word that talk about believing God. Isn't that what God told Joshua to do? He says, you just, here's the law, here's the Word of God, Joshua. I just want you to think about the Word of God. Don't ever let it leave your mouth. And that's not saying that every time he opened his mouth he was quoting the law of Moses. That's not what it means, right? It means that that was the confession of his life. The Word of God was the confession of his life. Is the Word of God the confession of our lives? Is that what we confess when things come to pass? You know, you face a troubling situation. What's the first thing that comes out of your mouth? Oh, crap. Or is it, oh God? You know, what is it? What is the first thing you think? Where do you go to? Where do you go to in that space, in the deepest part of your mind? When you have a problem, where do you go to first? Do you go to the law of God, God's Word, which you've been thinking about regularly? And I know you have, right? We've all been thinking about it regularly. And every time we get a chance at nighttime, we think about God's Word. So when the problem arises, our mind immediately goes, the deepest recesses of our mind and heart immediately goes to that Word which we've thought about. And if we haven't, well, there's something practical we could do. You know, how, I mean, you know, pretty much most people have tried to work out in their lives one time or another, you know, or are still trying to, right? Some of us should, more often than not. But, you know, when you do that, what do you do? Okay, I got this week ahead of me, 7 days. You know, I'm gonna do a workout Monday, and I'm going to do it Wednesday, and I'm going to do it Saturday. Okay, I'm going to do an hour, and I got my time, 10 to 11, I'm going to do this. And so you schedule it into your calendar that I'm going to do this workout because it will help me be more athletic and physical and all that kind of stuff. We do that all the time, right? We've done that. Have you ever scheduled in time to meditate on God's Word regularly in your life? Have you ever said, you know what? I got half an hour every Wednesday at 7 o'clock that I don't really have anything to do. I'm going to spend half an hour sitting in my chair, and I'm going to just think about what Jesus Christ said. I'm going to think about what God said to Joshua. I'm going to think about what the Word of God says directly to me to see if I can possibly come to the point of believing this stuff. Right. You ever done that? Right. Well, if you haven't, it's probably a good thing to do. Like when God told Joshua, you know, take the time nightly, meditate, you know, David used to say, I will meditate on thee in the night watches, right? When I rise in the morning, I will think of thee, you know? And when I get up early in the morning, my heart pants for you like a deer for water. All those scriptures that talk about a desire for the Word of God. You know, David looked forward to the night watches so he could think about God's Word, you know? Well, maybe scheduling in time is going to teach me how not to lean on my own understanding, because I'll have thought more about his understanding than my own understanding. Maybe it's going to get me to the point of being able to believe the things that Jesus Christ said, the things that God's Word says to me. Right? Romans chapter 10. We're on their way there, we must go there. That wasn't a bad place to stop, was it? As we jump through the scriptures. Okay, I'm going to take you to remind you about something very, very simple that you did in your life, and it wasn't difficult. Believing God beyond that is no more difficult than what we did the first time we believed God, which is in Romans chapter 10. It says in verse 6, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into the heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? It says, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Right. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Was that a very hard thing to do? You know? No, it's not, is it? Like, okay, here we go again with the God has the heart part, right? Because really, okay, he says to me, okay, I want you to make Jesus your Lord and believe that I raised him from the dead, okay? I said, sounds pretty easy. What does he do? Okay, he gives you Holy Spirit. Right? He gives you eternal life. He seats you on his own right hand. And he says, you're going to be with me forever. And he says, when the Lord comes back, I'm going to gather you back with myself. And it goes on and on and on, right? And what did I do? Wouldn't it be, it'd be harder to figure the rest of that stuff out, wouldn't it? Than for me to just say, well, believe with, okay, great. Great blessings, right? And blessings never end. And so with your my mouth, if I tell that to somebody else now, guess what? They too can get those great blessings. And you know, and so learning to believe God, how complicated was that what we just learned? Very, very simple. Very, very simple. He didn't say, again, I go back to the burpees. He didn't say, while you're doing this, do 100 burpees and do a bunch of pull-ups. No, he says, just make Jesus your Lord and believe that I raised him from the dead, and guess what? And we heard in the manifestation today, we heard in the manifestation that you will not be disappointed when you come to the Lord, right? And that's what verse 11 says. For who the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Right? Shall not be ashamed. Let's go down to verse 17. So then, believing, or faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How do you believe God? How do you learn to believe God? It says it right there, by hearing his word. Okay, again, and now I go back to, so what do I do on a weekly basis in my life if I want to learn to believe God? And I love that mountain thing. I remember first of that mountain thing, I was like, yeah, I want to, mountains, man, you can move a mountain if you need to, if needful. You know, and sometimes things like cancer and all these things, they seem like mountains, don't they? Mm-hmm. It's pretty high mountains to climb, right? Yet, what does the Word of God say? It says, if you believe, right? Not only this, but whatsoever you shall ask in prayer. So why couldn't you ask in prayer to say, I want this to be removed. I don't want this evil disease or whatever problem a person is suffering. Absolutely, you can. How do you get to that point? If I don't even have enough concern for the Word of God in my life to spend 5 minutes a week thinking about it, man, do you think that you're going to move mountains? Do you think that it's ever going to happen? Do you think you're ever going to get to that point in your life? Of course not. Do you want to run the marathon and only spend, you know, run 5K every three times a year and then show up at the Boston Marathon and try to run 26 miles? What's going to happen to you? Right? Probably going to puke at about 10K and pass out. Well, you know, it's no different with the things of God. If I think the things of God just come to me, and all of a sudden, 2 years from now, I'm just going to be able to believe God bigger than I ever had before, and I've done nothing in those 2 years to hear God's word, think about it, meditate on it, and honor him, then I am totally deceived. Right? Absolutely. It won't be any better. I will not be stronger for him 2 years from now than I would be now. You know, yet a lot of people just expect to think God, things of God just to come. It'll happen. Someday I'm going to wake up and boy, there's going to be, you know, the stars, the sun's going to come out. There's going to be a choir in the clouds and I'm just going to understand everything and be able to do everything in the Word. And that is not going to happen. Not going to happen. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. So I can meditate on God's Word. So I was telling you this. There's only a limited number of things you can do in your life to learn to believe God. Right? So there are maybe a handful. So let's think about them. What's one thing you can do to learn to believe God better? Read God's word, right? What's another thing you can do? You can meditate on God's word, right? You can speak God's word. It's pretty simple. There aren't a lot of things you can do, are there? But do we even do the things that we know to do? Is the question. Do I even do the things that I know to do in order to believe him more? Right. Do I schedule time in my life to learn how to lean not onto my own understanding? Do I schedule time in my life to meditate on his word? Do I schedule to sit there and say, okay, when Jesus said, move a mountain, what did he mean? When he said, whatsoever, what does that mean, God? Give me understanding. Do I actively make a habit in my life to do that? Day after day after day after day. So when the real hard thing comes along, when that mountain has to be moved, it's not like, oh darn, I've only run 3K in the last year, I got to run 26 miles, I can't do it. Or have I prepared for those hard cases? And that's, you know, that's up to each person to look at their life and say, well, what is it that I can do Because realistically, believing God is not going to just happen. We have to actively learn to believe Him. You might listen to tapes. You might listen to CDs. You might hum. You might do whatever. Whatever it is, if I take the time to schedule that into my life, then there's the, then I, you know, you will grow in our ability to believe Him. In Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews. Chapter 4. Wonderful verse of scripture. Have you ever sat down and thought about what can I do to learn to believe God more? I did, and I was like, okay. You know, there aren't a lot of things. But in order to do it, we ought to at least do the things that we know to do. And that's very, very simple, right, to do. It's one of the things, I think growing spiritually and growing to learn to believe God better is one of those things that people totally put in a different realm than the other things. I mean, every other thing people do in life, whether it's learning a new language or learning, you know, like I use the example of working out or whatever, learning how to cook or something, people know exactly what to do, right? I'm going to take a class, and do this, and do this, you know. I'm going to listen to CDs every day until I can speak Spanish. Hola, you know. Someday, oh, I can speak a little Spanish. But when it comes to God, people say, oh, it's just going to happen. It's not. Not going to happen. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God. Actually, let's just go back up to verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own work. Sounds just like Proverbs chapter 3, doesn't it? As God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So what is the labor God is talking about? You're going to work hard to enter into some kind of rest? Where is the laboring? Verse 12 gives the answer. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You want to labor? That's where you labor. You labor in knowing God's word. Very, very simple solution to entering into that rest. Because God says there, the guys in the Old Testament, they didn't enter the rest. Why? Because they didn't believe Him. Unbelief. They didn't believe. And they never got a chance. So God says, you want to enter this rest? Well, the Word of God is where you spend your time. We'll close in Hebrews 6. Sorry, Hebrews 11, not 6. Hebrews 11. You know, maybe looking at a tree helps you believe God. Maybe. I know looking at the stars helps me believe God. Because when you're outside and you look at the stars and you go, you know, wow. Isn't it? I mean, I'm sure people have been overwhelmed by just... So, you know, like I said, there are not a lot of things you can do to learn to believe. But even when you're looking at the stars, looking at a tree, it's the scripture that I have in my mind. You know, there's scriptures about the trees. There's scriptures about the stars and how God made them and set them for signs and set them for, you know, lights in the sky. And the word of God is written in the stars and all these things that you can think about. But always amounts very, very simply. It amounts to one thing. That is meditating on God's word, thinking God's word, memorizing God's word, having it in our heart, our mind, ready to speak it. You know, and always going back to the word that we know in situations that arise. Because we made a habit in our lives to do that. It always amounts to that. Hebrews 11, 6. But without believing, it is impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is. Right? God is. There's the reverencing God. And that He is a rewarder of them that occasionally think about Him. Oh, wait a minute. It says that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You see the importance of believing? God said, you know, without, you know, if my kids didn't believe anything I ever said, I would not be well pleased with my children. Would you? Like, if you're teaching your children the right thing, and they don't believe anything you say, you wouldn't be well pleased. God says here, it says in the Word, without believing, it is impossible to please Him. Simple, right? God gives His Word. He asks us to believe it. And then He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Diligently seek Him. Not occasionally, I have the time, flippantly, but diligently. And diligent is diligent, right? So if I want to learn to believe God, it's no different than really the other disciplines in my life and our lives that we might get into. You know, if I want to learn to believe Him, I need to go to God's Word. I have to do exactly what He tells me to do. You know, if I want to learn not to lean on my own understanding and to trust Him, then I've got to look at His understanding of life, don't I? This is His understanding of life. And beyond that, what He can reveal to us by way of the Holy Spirit. And that's His understanding, and that's what He has encouraged us to know, to think about, to consider, to go to make a habit of thinking about and asking for His understanding, because the Scriptures promise us, if I want understanding of His Word, if I meditate on them, He will give us understanding of His Word. Wouldn't you, if you're a child, and God and the child says to you, well, Dad, what do you mean by that? I say, well, figure it out yourself, son. Someday it's going to come to you. No. Well, this is what I meant. Let me explain to you. So if God is a greater father than any father on the earth, so if I don't understand something and I go to Him, is He going to help you get understanding? Of course He is. But if I never ask Him or never even consider it, well, I'm not going to get understanding. Right? So, you know, believing God is not complicated. It's simple. We've all done it. And now it's just a matter of now taking the time to systematically grow in our ability to believe Him by doing exactly what His word tells us, exactly what it told Joshua, exactly what it told all the men and women that are written about in His Word. Yeah, so, a little bit on learning to believe God.